Welcome to Digging Deeper in Grace, a ministry of Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville, Ohio. Our goal each episode is to dig deeper into the scriptures with a focus on our most recent sermon. And now let's dig deeper. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Digging Deeper in Grace. I'm your host, Bart Sheridan, and today we are diverging from what has been our normal practice of discussing our recent church sermon. We're going to spend some time with a couple of our deacon leaders to discuss the caring ministry of biblical deacons, and especially as it pertains here at Grace Baptist Church. So to help with that, I'm very happy to have with me Grace Deacons Mark Maslin, our deacon team leader, and Luke Sheridan, who leads our caring ministry. Gentlemen, it's great to have you with us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Mark, let's just start right into it. In 2016, we're all aware, our church moved to an elder-led church polity. And up to that point, we called our church's governing board the Deacon Board. That was our board of trustees, so to speak. And now we recognize elders since 2016. They are our spiritual overseers. And that, of course, includes our vocational elders or pastors. But our deacons at that point in 2016 took on a different role. Can you share with us what the deacon's role in our church is today?
Sure. So let me step back a little bit and just share what I see when I look at the New Testament model of church leadership. It really becomes clear that there's two different and distinct groups there, elders and deacons. Interestingly, the church that I came from had the same realization. We were there when they walked through the same process. And walk through that same process, similar to Grace, what Grace has gone through. And frankly, it included a bit of a struggle. You know, what do we do with these two groups now, right? And I think the same issue was here. You know, we had this one group, now we have two. What do each of them do? I'm serving in my final year as deacon here at Grace. And over that time, I feel like the two groups have really started to solidify some of those distinctives. Now, as you mentioned, elders are the spiritual overseers. What we see then is the role of deacons centers around that Greek word that's used in the New Testament, diakonos, which is usually translated as servant. There's also a verb that means to serve, which some have said is to deek, you know, using that Greek word there. It's kind of a funny way to put it, but it really nails the point. You know, those Greek words really tell us at a basic level what we need to do as deacons. We're called to serve. There's a guy named Matt Smethurst who wrote a helpful essay for the Gospel Coalition all about deacons. He states right up front this, in a general sense, every Christian is called to be a deacon, a servant. But what we're talking about here today really is that formal church office. So since becoming a deacon is both a calling and a process for the men and women who do this in ministry, I'd like to say that we as the deacon team are kind of the lead servers. Smethurst states that we're model servants who excel at being attentive and responsible to the tangible needs in the life of a church. I like that. In other words, what I see that as getting our hands dirty in the ministry here, right? We give of our time, often in the background where nobody sees. We gather the volunteers, coordinate the ministries, make sure things get done. We inspire our church family, hopefully, to use their God-given talents, their gifts, their passions for ministry here. Now, let's circle back to how the deacon role differs from the elder role. Deacons are here to support the elders. We're here to help with the day-to-day operations of the church. And I'm just going to walk through a couple of things that deacons do and just kind of compare elders and deacons, and I think it'll give some clarity here. So, for instance, elders are up front leading that time of communion, right, on a Sunday morning. The deacons, at least in normal times, make sure that we have sufficient juice and crackers. They prepare the small cups with juice, they break the crackers, they coordinate the Sunday morning help, and perform the actual distribution of the elements to the Grace family. Baptisms. While the elders perform the actual baptisms, deacons are there to assist to get people to the changing rooms, make sure they have a towel, get them in place at the right time, and really just provide general assistance for the people getting baptized. Where elders may visit somebody that has critical physical needs, the deacons are there with regular contact to make sure their needs are being met. Where the elders may call for a large gathering of our membership, deacons make sure the kitchen's in order, ready to use, make sure there's a sign-up form created, purchasing food, preparing food, serving food, cleaning up. Other things, the deacons administer a fund to assist the poor and needy, both within our church and community. We help care for and maintain the property of the church. We help in the business affairs of the church regarding its material assets. and really just the practical details of church life.
Okay, so and that's great. We see how just very practically the deacons serve. Talk about, and maybe Luke, you can pick up, talk about then the leadership of the deacons. And this is the way the deacons function. Great illustrations and great detail. What are some of the leadership responsibilities of a deacon then at Grace?
Sure. So, you know, as Mark said, we're kind of as deacons, we're the leaders in care. We're the people who are really exemplifying the deacon role is the leaders who are exemplifying really what the rest of the congregation should be doing. And it's that leadership role is not necessarily a doing everything role in the sense that the deacons are not the only ones in ministry. We are the ones who are encouraging and empowering under the authority of the elders to the empowering the congregation to serve each other. You know, Jesus said in John, the world will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Mm-hmm. And we as deacons are exemplifying that love and that care for each other to the world.
Okay, great, great. So Luke, you grew up in this church from the time, I recall, about 1.5 years old. And you have witnessed over 20 years, well over 20 years under our old format, and now over 5 years with the deacons in their current roles. What would you say are the strengths that you've witnessed related to the deacons' current caring function as opposed to the way it was 5 years ago and before?
Sure. So 5 years ago, we had a deacon board that was led by a group of pastors, elders. And so what we've done now, we've moved to basically a delineation of roles, whereas before the deacons were taking on both some of the elder role and what the deacons were going to do. Now we've delineated between what the elders are responsible for and what deacons are responsible for, especially with respect to care. And we're working now to develop those roles even more. Even after 5 years, we're still working to, you know, the elders really need to be working on this. The deacons need to be focusing on this. And so what that allows us to do is to be more effective in our ministry. And, you know, we've transitioned from a model where there's 2 to 4 pastors to now we have 10 to 14 pastors, pastor, elder, overseer. We've heard several times from the pulpit that those terms are interchangeable. They're the same office. And now we've taken the role of deacon and taken it from being a mashup of 2 different roles and transitioned it to being what the Bible has actually defined the deacons to do, to take on the practical ministry mm-hmm. of the church. And I think that's a huge strength of this particular model in that it allows us to work together and do more with the ministry resources we have available to
us. Kind of to dig deeper into your role.
Dig deeper, exactly.
Very good. Well, so we'll go to the grayer, older, wiser head here in the room and allow him the opportunity. Mark, conversely, it doesn't take too long to notice some challenges. You've been through this twice. So you can see challenges probably from 2 different churches, but some challenges with a change in the way the church ministers. Can you share some of those difficulties that maybe the deacons have experienced over the past 5 years and maybe put a little flesh on so we can understand maybe as a church how we can help even push forward even further?
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind is one I mentioned earlier, just especially early on, you know, just what are those roles between elders and deacons? So that's been a challenge. And I think as I've talked about, as Luke talked about, you know, we're kind of facing that challenge, getting through that and really helping with that. Another challenge is we're all human. And this comes down to some of the care aspects, especially, you know, things fall through the cracks. Sometimes we get frustrated and offended. Other people get frustrated and offended with how things are handled or not handled. Communication breaks down. Those are all challenges, nothing that can't be dealt with. And especially in a community of grace, not Grace Baptist, but God's grace, you know, things we can certainly work through.
Can I interrupt you there? We've also come through a year-long pandemic. We're still in the midst of it, hopefully in the final throes of it. But talk about some of the difficulties and maybe some of the unique measures that you've put forth as we've dealt with the COVID and its attendant results.
Right. So, you know, some of what we dealt with last year especially really came to a head at the end of the year. And as we were talking, especially Luke and I, thinking through what does 2021 look like for the deacons? And, you know, I kind of had a plan in place. And then, you know, as we looked at it, it's like, we need more people to care. We need more deacons in leadership. We need to kind of divide this up a little bit more because it was becoming overwhelming, frankly. You know, the volunteers serving well, but just taking an immense amount of time every week trying to do this well. And frankly, causing some of that frustration and offense because things fell through the cracks. Communication did break down because we were spread very thin. So one thing we did this year was really beef up that team. There's some other areas that deacons oversee that aren't as needed right now. For instance, communion is all encapsulated in a cup. You know, nobody's mm-hmm. buying juice and pouring it and cleaning up as much. So, you know, there's areas that we've pulled from hospitality, things that we're not doing as much right now to really beef up that care team and, mm-hmm. and try to care well for our membership.
Right. Good. Good. Well, it's been a weird year, a tough year. I think we've all, whether it's business, church, family members, we've all learned something on how better to operate, maybe sometimes operate with less. So, Luke, just having completed a 10-week study in Ephesians, my mind still goes through those six chapters. What principles that were taught in that letter are instructional to deacons specifically, do you think?
Yeah, so kind of going along with that model of empowering the congregation, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the fact that God gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers, elders, and the role God gave those men and women to the church for the task of strengthening the church and teaching them how to serve, preparing them for acts of service. And so our role as deacons, Mark and my role as deacons and the rest of the deacons, and the elders' role in that is to prepare the congregation for acts of service. And that those acts of service are not just pats on the back. They are, the role of those acts of service are to build up the congregation, to build up the body of Christ to maturity and to strength. And he uses that term, that concept of a body, recognizing, and he goes even further to talk about the tendons and the joints and how those acts of service actually build up. You know, I was an athlete in high school, and just working out, preparing the body for that competition, you were building up the muscle, you were building up those tendons and those joints so that when the battle came, which Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, when those that bout of depression comes or when those hard times come, those spiritual battle elements that we talk about and sometimes gloss over in our Christian talk, when those times come, we as a body can be mature and can be, you know, encouraging each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can be promoting that unity and that maturity in Christ. And that's seen all throughout Ephesians, as we've talked about over the past several weeks.
Great. And Mark, one of the key passages that we look at in the instruction to deacons or identifying deacons is 1 Timothy 3. And of course, it talks about elders and then deacons. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the, you know, Luke talks about basically training up and enabling the rest of the body. If you would, talk a little bit about the idea of, yes, that's for deacons, but I've had other people here, even at this table, talk about the fact that that is really something, those key characteristics or traits for deacons really is something that should be characterized by any Christian. It's just that the deacons are maybe, as one or both of you have said, excel in that kind of a ministry.
I agree. You know, it's as we think about our church family, and even as we're thinking about, you know, younger believers and their maturation process, and really, you know, trying to get them involved as deacons later in life. This is the model. This 1 Timothy 3 model is really the model for Christian living, mm-hmm. as you said.
Right.
You know, if we're following that as a Christian, then the next, you know, it's an easy logical step to say, okay, you know, I meet these criteria because that's how I'm living everyday life. And now I feel the call of God to do something a little bit more with that, to be a lead server, to help engage the congregation and help them serve better in that deacon leadership role. So I agree that that's a great passage for just how do I live as a Christian.
Just for any church member. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of an author I read a number of books from back in my much earlier days, and that's John Maxwell, generally considered one of the key leadership and motivational speakers and writers. But John Maxwell used to say that the key to a good leader is that he or she is one who, when they are done with what they are doing, with the job they're doing, they've already trained somebody to follow along behind mm-hmm. them, who will do it better, by the way. And you can see this in athletic teams, you can see this in churches, you can see this even in families. I think that's to be our goal, even in families, and the church as a family, to leave behind ones who are trained by me or you to do the job better than I did.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, and whichever one of you wishes to respond to this, one of the matters that we've talked about a lot here at Grace. We've developed a model here over the past number of years, and this goes actually precedes our change to an elder polity, elder and deacon polity. But we've developed a model for caring for the members of Grace. Now, can you folks share with us what is the basic operation of that caring model that you've developed?
Well, I can speak to that. Just one of the things that we've really tried to do, even in the past year, especially with the current events and everything that's been going on, we've really tried to delineate how does a need get met at Grace? And so we've kind of boiled it down to three distinct happenings or features that have to be met if we want to care for needs. And that's identifying needs. It's recognizing when a need is happening and trying to be as proactive as possible. We talk about worship plus two, and how going to church and being part of the body of Christ is not just about attending Sunday morning services. It's about participating in community. It's about having in-depth conversations with people about your life. And so that identifying needs, that's how things happen. And so we really put a focus on being involved in an ABF, being involved in a small group, being involved in men's prayer breakfast or a ladies' Bible study or places where you can know and be known by other people. And so we want to identify needs. We want to communicate needs. It's important for us as leaders to know what needs are out there. And part of that communication is also communicating how you as the individual, as the church member, are already meeting those needs. You know, I would be ecstatic if somebody, and I have been ecstatic when somebody has called me and say, hey, I've recognized this need in the church, but actually our small group has already taken care of this. So we just want you to know so you can be praying for that situation and continuing to, maybe there are other situations going on that we don't know about. You know, those are the types of situations that really get my heart pumping because the congregation is really involved, and I can tell that they're involved by the way they are actively and proactively participating in the caring process.
And let me interrupt you there. Give us some practical pluses that brings up when somebody organically notices a need, deals with the need, and calls you and tells, hey, the need is met. Mark, what practically does that do? You've got a bunch of deacons who are ready to serve. What are some of the practical outgrowths of that?
Relief.
Hey, that's true. That's very well put.
No, it's interesting as you think of, deacons or pastors, if we try to do everything, we're not serving anybody well, right? So well, being able to spread this amongst, what Luke just talked about is an immense help. And it's really, that view of the church as a family. We're a big family. We have smaller groups of family within that, which is how we get taken care of. But I've definitely been, made aware of a need and heard, hey, there's like a food sign up or something. And you go on there and it's all taken. It's like, praise God. You know, that's I don't have to do anything because they're being taken care of so well by those that are right around them, those that know and know them well. So that's exciting, you know, and it's something that we can just praise God for. And I think, you know, these ministry groups and even backing up a little bit, you know, church membership, they're so crucial for the care ministry of the church. The idea of church membership, while it may seem kind of, you know, old fashioned or something, what it does is allow us to have a list of these people that are under the care of the church. It gives us names of people, phone numbers, email addresses, people that may be part of a small group or may not be. You know, sometimes some people aren't ready for that yet. But what we've done as a group, the elders do this. You know, you guys read through and pray for those names. Same thing with the care team. You know, this is a list of people that we're caring for. Our care policy at Grace is a member care policy. So that's why, you know, one of the reasons we push to have people become members, whether that's full membership, associate membership, is because that puts you then in this under the shepherding area of Grace. And if we know you, then we can care for you better. If we don't know you, it makes that really challenging. And so it's really a win-win situation to be a member, and really just helps this whole process go much more smoothly.
Well, and we as elders have talked time and time again and try to continue to communicate that, the idea that it is much easier to care from a deacon standpoint and oversee from an elder standpoint when you know who you're caring for and overseeing. It's just you've got to know. So, Luke, let's go back. I interrupted you.
You're fine.
So you were identifying the needs, the way our process works, identifying the needs and then communicating the needs you were going to, and take it from there.
Yeah, so communicating, so we can be in prayer, so we can be reaching out. Well, maybe we have other insight that's not publicly known that can help as you're caring for specific things in people's lives. But the last thing is just executing care. And I think some people get kind of hesitant about this. They'd rather pass it off to somebody with more experience. But in reality, if you know the person best, you're probably one of the best people to care for them. And it's going to mean more coming from you than coming from somebody who is maybe two or three people removed. And it's gonna even grow your relationship with that person even more, which again is what we're all striving for in working out our muscles, so to speak. We wanna be growing into unity and growing more like Christ. And so that executing care piece is really the critical thing. We want to make sure we carry it through. And even beyond that, we want to make sure that people in our congregation are prepared to do that. So we want to train people. We want to be available. We recognize that some people may not have the resources or the experience to handle sexual sins or other issues that may come up in somebody's life, but we as a church collectively have people who are trained in things, and so we want to be providing you resources and support, and maybe if the situation requires it, even to take over certain parts of that care so that that person can be cared for effectively.
So if you didn't catch that, that's ICE.
ICE.
That's
yes.
Identify, communicate, and execute. Mm-hmm. And that's really, it's been fun to work with the deacons to see them developing a model that really works. So, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to share the microphones with you today. We're with Mark Maslin and Luke Sheridan, Grace Deacons, this week on Digging Deeper in Grace. We've been discussing the scriptural principles that guide the ministry of church deacons. We invite you to join us next time as we begin our discussions related to our new sermon series based jointly in James' Epistle and the Proverbs. Until then, I'm your host, Bart Sheridan, thanking you again for tuning into this week's episode of Digging Deeper in Grace. Digging Deeper in Grace is a ministry of Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville, Ohio.
Visit us online at gracecedarville.org and join us next time as we continue our discussion. In the meantime, we invite you to continue digging deeper in grace as you read God's Word.